Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. We are so glad that you are here this Memorial Day weekend and Fusion Sunday. On this last Sunday of every month, we celebrate the ways in which we are a congregation that worships together all ages and all different backgrounds in our journey of faith. And so this is a reminder that if you are worshiping, especially with any little ones, to make sure that they are fully included in the worship experience. Hold the hymnals and the bulletin where they can see them. And don't worry about the wiggles and giggles. It's how we all learn to worship together. So feel free to answer anyone's questions that are around you. And we have a very wonderful opportunity this Fusion Sunday on Memorial Day weekend to be in prayerful reflection of the faith of those who have served this nation as military personnel and first responders and their own faith. And so I've invited a few folks from our congregation who will be sharing some very personal stories about their service and faith. So I welcome to the pulpit this morning Dave Fish, Dick Kern, Ed Kuhn, Christy, and Dick Stewart, who will be sharing the message this morning. We always love your feedback about these Fusion Sundays, so use the hospitality register as a way to sign in and also add those comments. We have a few announcements this morning. We'll get started with sharing.
This is my last pre-yard sale announcement. A few things. We need lots of help on Saturday. The sign-up is looking kind of meager, and we also need, for those who are working on Saturday, to park at Cornerstone so that we leave our parking lot for our many, many customers. The fence will be going up probably Tuesday afternoon if anyone's available to help with that. We also need to borrow some canopies if anyone has some. That would be helpful. Donations close Wednesday at 8 o'clock, with the exception of plants and baked goods, which we ask you to bring on Friday, and we need lots of both. And that's the end of my list. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Not quite the last. She didn't have the last announcement about the yard sale. I'd get that one. Wednesday will be the last day that you can drop off any of your electronic equipment to be recycled. The boxes are located across from the adult lounge in the area where the coats are normally hanging in there. The boxes will be picked up over Thursday and Friday, so any donation should be placed in there by Wednesday evening. Thank you very much, and if you have any questions about it, please contact me.
This is just a quick plea for help. Tuesday, early or late afternoon, early evening, we are having our presbytery meeting at the Divinity School at Colgate Rochester. And normally the churches supply volunteers for parking and help with registration, but at the Divinity School we have to get our own. We're lacking two people to help with the parking. All it is, it's 2 hours from 3:45 until 5:45, just directing people which lot to park in, and we'll have some orange vests for you. And if anybody can help out, please contact me after church.
I don't know. We have a lot of GPCers who love to don the orange vests, so Janice shouldn't be any trouble. Are there any other announcements this morning? Friends, and let us prepare our hearts to worship God.
Please stand. We have come together as one. Through hurt and suffering, through Jesus Christ, we have the peace to live our faith anew.
Join with me in the litany prayer of confession that is printed in your bulletin. As a community of believers, Holy One, we open ourselves to your restorative presence. We are surrounded by beauty. We are symbols of hope. We are blessed beyond measure. We are uncommonly free. We are gifted and graced as people of faith. We are loved beyond measure. In these moments of shared silence, O God, encourage us to lay down our burdens, release our fears, forgive our failures, reclaim our hopes, and align ourselves with your deep wisdom. We are the light of the world by the power of God's grace. Our freedom is a gift. Receive it fully. Our purpose is justice. Do it rightly. Our hope is peace. Pursue it faithfully. Our calling is life. Live it well. God is faithful in all things, and so it is.
Good morning.
Good job.
No, I brought this flag with me today to remind me that this week we're celebrating a special holiday. Does anybody know what it is, Alex? Memorial Day. That's exactly right. Memorial Day. You're right. It's an American flag. That's exactly right. And you know, on Memorial Day, we come together in our country and remember the men and women who have given their lives to fight for the cause of freedom all through the generations, for years and decades, for a long time. You know, we're very, very lucky because you and I can worship anytime, any place we want to. That's one of the freedoms we have. Do you know in some countries, people cannot go to the church they want to? The government tells them where they go. And if they disobey the government, they get in a lot of trouble. So I was thinking about that. You know, some Sunday mornings, it is just hard to get up in the morning. How many of you sometimes just really would rather stay in bed? Yeah, I get it. I understand. Alex would? No. Sometimes I feel that way too. Or maybe there's something just a little bit more interesting or exciting or more fun than getting up on Sunday morning and coming to church. But God really wants us to remember to worship God and to come to church and do that. And the really wonderful thing is that in our country, we can do that. No one's going to say, no, you can't go. So I think it's kind of important on Sunday mornings just to remember just a little bit that it is a privilege that we get to be here. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for the freedoms we have. Thank you for the people who gave their lives so that we might be free. Amen. All right, you may go back to your parents.
Your name is wonderful everywhere on earth. You let your glory be seen in the heavens above. With praises from children and from tiny infants, you have built a fortress. It makes your enemies silent, and all who turn against you are left speechless. I often think of the heavens your hands have made, and the moon and the stars you put in place. Then I ask, why do you care about us humans? Why are you concerned for us weaklings? You made us a little lower than you yourself, and you have crowned us with the glory and honor. You let us rule everything your hands have made, and you put all of it under our power. The sheep and the cattle and every wild animal, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and all the ocean creatures. Our Lord and ruler, your name is wonderful everywhere on earth.
The second reading of the day comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we boast also in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. like to thank you all for being here so I could share my faith experience. She walked towards me with three yellow flowers in her hand. It was about 10 o'clock at night and a cool October evening. She seemed a little out of place. There in the middle of Manhattan, and there at Ground Zero. I was there too, on duty with Company B, 427th Maintenance Support Company, HUA. We were assigned to make sure the site was secure and create a perimeter. I soon found I also kept people's hearts secure. She was probably in her mid-60s or early 70s, more grandmother and cookie maker than rabble-rouser. But she had a determined look on her face and deep lines of sadness. I asked her what she needed and if I could help her. I can't tell you how loud it was there, and at all times around the clock, people would gawk, ask questions, try to get closer. They were there in the hundreds. When she spoke to me, she was quiet, but for some reason, I was able to hear her over all the noise. She said, "Young man, can I take these flowers down there?" Pointing to the pit where thousands of people lost their lives. I said, "We were really not allowed to take people down there because of the safety issues and the such." "Oh," she said, "well, here, take these for me," and handed me the flowers. She said, "My husband was a firefighter and lost his life years ago in a fire. My oldest son was a firefighter and lost his life in a fire. My third son was a firefighter and lost his life here in Tower 2 fighting this fire." I held her hand and took her down. And she placed her flowers there and said a little prayer. Paul's letters speak to us today, even as they did long ago. The passage tells us to rejoice in our suffering, for it produces endurance. See, the woman showed this grace and endurance that night, and certainly I was touched by her. I was given hope, and I was given endurance. So if I could humbly ask, find the endurance in your times of trouble. God's love will be poured into your hearts because the Holy Spirit has been given to each and every one of you. Understand, you will soon find your endurance, and it will be passed to others like a ripple in the water.
Good morning. As I thought about what to talk about this Memorial Day, I thought maybe the best thing for me to tell you folks would be a real-life wartime love story. So I was drafted, this is a long time ago, I was drafted in 1951 to the Army. At that time, I was engaged to a beautiful blonde young lady by the name of Joyce Norwood, who lived not far from here in Greece, Long Pond Road. When I got drafted, which was a big surprise because I was too young for World War II, and I thought when that was over, we're free and clear. Well, things happen, and that's where faith steps in. Joyce and I did what we had to do. She stayed home, called me, and wrote me as much. Well, she wrote me. We didn't have many other communications in those days. There were no iPhones or any of this instant communications. We relied on letters. And as I got assigned finally to Fort Jackson, South Carolina for, infantry, basic infantry training, Joyce was writing daily, and I was trying to do the best I could to stay in contact also. Not all was possible. As my training continued, there were rumors that we were going to be the lucky company, and we were going to go to Germany for occupation troops. Well, being a novice, young, I believed everything they told me. So I wrote home to Joyce, and I said, Joyce, go ahead and plan the wedding when I come home on leave. So she did. Well, when I finally got there after my basic training, I got home, and she was just couldn't wait to show me where we were going to have the reception, what we were going to have for lunch, what we were going to do this and do that. And I said, honey, we've got to have a talk. So that evening, we spent the evening at the drive-in theater in a very, very tough discussion. And I want to tell you, it was not a happy evening. But I felt if I didn't come home, and I felt through my faith and everything that I would come home, but I had the feeling that if I didn't come home, she would have been a widow for simply 2 weeks of married life. I didn't feel that was fair. She didn't care for it, the change and plans, but ultimately, that's the way we went. So after I returned from my that discussion, I went back to the Army. I ended up in a artillery outfit, which was one of my best breaks in life. I got transferred from somehow or another, and I give the credit to the good Lord, I ended up from basic training in the infantry to the 17th Field Artillery in Korea. It wasn't a cakewalk, but I'm sure it was better than the infantry. And to this day, I always felt that the Lord was with me, and I got my strength from the 23rd Psalm, when the days got rough and things got tight. And that got me through the yea, though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The fighting in the Korean War was the fiercest towards the end when they were negotiating at Panmunjom. And just before, as you know, they never did sign a peace treaty. It was just still open today with a truce. So after serving a year and a half, I come home. The war was at truce. And Joyce and I, finally, on November 21st at 2 p.m. at the Gates Presbyterian Church on Buffalo Road, were married by the Reverend Parsons. So I want to tell you that my faith meant so much to me. And believe me when I tell you, there are no atheists in foxholes. Thank you.
I second that motion. In July of 1966, I was 18 years old, and not necessarily on a spiritual path when I enlisted in the United States Marine Corps. Marine training is about team building that begins on the yellow footprints painted on the pavement at Parris Island. The Corps takes individuals and transforms them into well-trained members of the Marine Corps team. Lessons learned in boot camp can appear to some to be harsh, but when training for war, the lessons were necessary but never really spiritual. The greatest lesson this Marine learned was to improvise, adapt, and overcome. This lesson has served me well in my life, both while I was in Vietnam and also later in life. In October of 1967, I went to Vietnam, and I served there until November of 1968. Spiritually, I discovered, as Dick has already so gracefully pointed out, there are no such things as atheists in foxholes. And that was true for me. Another thing that I observed is that men do become very close while serving under the stress of war. The band of brothers, which I believe is a true spiritual bond. During my time in country with my company, 3rd Battalion, 7th Marines, and the 1st Marine Division, there were Marines wounded and killed in action and accidents. James Timmons was the company radio operator from Syracuse, New York. He was 19 years old. He was my replacement when he died. He was one of the Marines that I remember today. Memorial Day is the day that we remember all of those Marines, all of the men and women who did not make it home in Vietnam, Korea, World War II, all of the wars past and all of the conflicts today. And today is the time to thank God that we are here to remember them and to know today that by the grace of God, there go I. Thank you.
Good morning. I could talk about being happily married for 40 plus years to Dick and walking with him through the memories of Vietnam. But today I'm choosing to share my mother's heart, having three children who have proudly served our country. All three enlisted in the Army after the devastating attacks on 9/11. My faith has definitely been challenged and has grown on this journey. There are many scripture passages that have sustained me, but my most frequently repeated mantra is Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I needed to know in my heart that God would be present when my children were in danger. Dick and I created a prayer garden in our front yard when our older daughter Sarah was deployed to Iraq. The garden became a place to sit quietly, to cry, to lift up our concerns to God, to offer thanks for many blessings, a place to be still and know. To know that God was there when Sarah boarded a plane for Kirkuk and when was handed a camouflage kerchief with Psalm 91 printed on it. For God will give angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. Sarah sang in the chapel on her base in Iraq. She was confronted by the atrocities of Saddam Hussein in Tikrit. She heard the sound of rockets when landing where she slept. Sarah suffered verbal abuse as a female in the military. When she flew in a Black Hawk for her R&R, the helicopter was diverted to protect soldiers in a firefight, an incredibly frightening experience. But as she continued on another leg of the trip home from Atlanta to Rochester, her confirmation sponsor from GPC, our very own Peter Derry, was on the flight with her. I knew that God was with her. To know that God was there when our younger daughter, Sheila, spent her honeymoon with her husband, John, in the Hindu Kush of Afghanistan. Sheila discovered a previously unknown terrorist training camp through her skilled interrogations. She helped detainees return to their families to provide food before winter. Sheila comforted a child with a head injury, a toddler much too young to endure battle wounds. I believe God was there when Sheila carried the casket of her desk mate and beloved friend Bernard, killed by an IED. Sheila also was able to teach the Romanian soldiers how to play baseball on a makeshift lot. I needed to know that God was there when our son-in-law John deployed to Afghanistan and Iraq, 4 times in all. He survived a night mission because a military dog sacrificed his life for him. John used his knowledge of the Arabic language and culture to successfully complete missions, but also to forge relationships. He communicated via Skype with his wife and his children, even though he'd only had a few hours of sleep each day. John faced and continues to face, like all veterans, I believe, the overwhelming contrast between the insanity of war and the innocence of children, like his own Stella and Johnny. John hugged everyone in the crowd when he returned to the Rochester airport once at 1 a.m, and many of you in this congregation were there to greet him. Be still and know that I am God, and know that I am there in all places, in all circumstances. After serving in a war zone, my children and their fellow soldiers still need God's presence. As they live their daily lives or visit Arlington National Cemetery or salute the flag at a Memorial Day parade, many people don't realize that warriors pray for peace more than most. They've been humbled by their experiences that have demanded great courage and brought them to their knees for prayer. And these experiences leave deep scars that need to heal. I'm extremely grateful for church families in Rochester, Virginia, and Illinois that embrace returning soldiers, listening, silently understanding, and caring. So I pray for these soldiers, these children of God, and I trust Jesus' words recorded in Matthew 11. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I believe deep in my heart that the perfect love of God can cast out all fears and bring wholeness.
Said, come and look inside them. They're a window to my heart. And don't forget I love you just the way you are. I knew it must be true. I saw his scars. Lord, my scars are deep. I don't want you to see them. So many of them were caused by things I chose to do. Yet look again at the ones that I am wearing. Don't you know I chose these scars too? I saw his scars. No, he didn't try to hide them. He said, come and look inside them. They're a window to my heart. And don't forget I love you just the way you are. I knew it must be true. I saw his scars. And one day in heaven, when we are on our knees, we'll look up to Jesus, and I believe we'll see. We'll see his scars. No, he will not try to hide them. He'll say, come and look inside them. They're a window to my heart. And don't forget I love you just the way you are. We know that it's true. We'll see his scars. We'll see his scars. No, he will not try to hide them. He'll say, come and look inside them. They're a window to my heart. And don't forget I love you just the way you are. Oh, and we'll know that it's true, because he died for me and you. Oh, we'll know that it's true. We'll see his scars.
this time, you are invited to share your own prayers of joy and concern. If you would like to share them out loud with the congregation, just raise your hand and an usher will bring a microphone over.
Dick Stewart, John is home.
Yeah. Amen.
He was able to attend Stella's graduation from preschool this last Friday.
Excellent.
Ed Coons, I have a friend, Maggie, whose daughter, Stephanie, has pancreatic cancer. She's going to undergo surgery next Thursday. So if we could just pray for Stephanie and the family. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Nathan, the organist, if you haven't looked back here in a while. This is not really too much of a prayer, but more of a thank you to everyone in the congregation, especially Melissa, Carol Ann, Roy, and all the choir members for being so supportive and encouraging of my music making here at Gates. It might be obvious to some, maybe not to all, that I don't have as much experience as some of your past organists, and so I really appreciate how Gates is serving kind of as an incubator for young musicians as we kind of learn the craft of church music playing and playing with congregational singing. And so I really, really appreciate that. And it's been great to get to know all of you. And that doesn't mean I'm leaving. I am going on 4 weeks of vacation, though, in Florida. And that might sound nice, but it's like 102 down there right now. But anyway, thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
J.C. Bouchon, I would like to, on behalf of Delta, my wife, thank the congregation for all your support, your prayers for our son Omar as he transitioned from Houston to Boston, survived all the storms, including, obviously, the marathon bombing. But after a year and all your support, he finished his first year back at the Harvard Divinity School. And again, that was a tough transition, but 1 year down. But I would like to ask your continued prayer as he leaves this week. He's going to start an internship in Allentown, Pennsylvania, in a youth ministry program. Again, thank you for all your support.
Continued prayers. Welcome home, Mom.
Barb Chapman, I've been so moved this morning. All I can say is, my goodness gracious. What a lucky family we are. The music, our wonderful speakers. It was absolutely touching, and I can't thank you and everyone enough.
Amen.
Whit Beckett, I have a friend. Her name is Holly. She's a young nurse in her early 20s. Over a year ago, she was helping a patient who was falling and injured her shoulder, and she still has no use in that shoulder, and they haven't figured out how they're going to restore that use.
Prayers for her.
Hi, Tracy Berkovich. Just wanted to ask for prayers for my mom. Her house sold in about 18 hours. So she's making a good transition to only one home in Florida. She'll still make it up for some time in the summers, but we've also felt the faith as pretty much every step so far this week has been pretty smooth for her. And also wanted to ask for prayers for Ben Cheel, who leaves for the Marines within the coming weeks.
Kay Harder, I just want to thank everybody for all your prayers and your support for the people in the state of Oklahoma who went through all those tornadoes this last week. Last Sunday, I got a voicemail coming back from the concert choir at Pierce. I'm going, who's calling me? I don't ever get voicemails, just texts. It was my mother, and she was saying, I just want just to know that I'm safe. So they had taken her to shelter along with her dog. But yes, that first tornado that touched down was in Shawnee, where my family and John's family lives. The one in Moore was also relatives in that area, but they are all safe, thank God. But we thank you for your prayers and your support and continued prayers for them because it's a long road for them. Thank you.
Rita Nirbash. As most of you know, our son left over 6 months ago for training as a U.S. Marine, and we have a joy to share. He was promoted to private first class recently, and we are going to visit him in 29 Palms on Wednesday and spend a weekend with him. And we miss him very much, and we're very much looking forward to having a couple days with him. And with that said, I want to just say thank you and ask for prayers for all of our military families, those serving past, present, and future. We can certainly relate to all the sacrifices and the missing them, whether they're deployed or on a base. It's tough. So thank you, everybody, and thank you for your service.
And I'd like to ask for prayers for a friend who's battling a very difficult health issue.
Let's continue our time of prayer. Merciful God, we pray for the world you have created, and where the creation cries, we ask for your healing touch. This week we watched tornadoes tear through Oklahoma and Texas and heard the cry of your creation. When tragedy strikes, we often forget the more ordinary places where your presence is needed. But we know, God, that in your wisdom you do not forget. So we pray for the mothers and fathers with new children, giving thanks for those who are healthy and praying for those who suffer. We pray for young people preparing for summer, remembering to give thanks for time to play, and mourning the reality that even in the places we want them to be the safest, they aren't always. We ask for your presence this Memorial Day weekend in the homes and lives of those serving in the armed forces and as first responders. Bless the men and women in uniform, their families, and their lives of faith. Comfort and sustain them where injury or mental anguish has changed the course of their lives. And God, we pray for the creation, all your people that cry out in war-torn areas. God, how we long for your peace. And we pray for ourselves, O Lord, for each gathered in this room is part of your creation. All of us are people who have needs and must make choices. We cry out for your presence. Be with us as we struggle to get along with a spouse or raise a child. Be with us as we struggle to manage our money and make progress against our addictions. Be with us as we struggle to care for our aging parents and honor their wisdom. Merciful God, hear our prayers. Help us to remember that with you, we have nothing to fear. We pray this in the name of the one who promised never to leave us or forsake us, with the words he taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we have been blessed by a God who loves us. Let us continue our time of worship in thanksgiving, offering back a portion of those blessings.
God, we give you thanks for all the many times and ways you've surrounded us with your love throughout our lives. In gratitude, we bring you our gifts, and we ask that you guide us and show us ways in which we can use them to bring peace and justice into our world. Amen. This place filled with the peace of God that is upon all people everywhere. So go in the name of that love and the grace of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Alleluia. Amen.
I know.